When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores desperate to get food.
Regulation.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Wait, welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits here on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Today, we're going to be talking about how to fight righteously, and we're going to have some examples of that. The first and foremost example of that would be the one and only Doug Wilson, who, by the way, just started No Quarter November. So I just want you guys to see this. If you haven't seen this yet, this is absolutely amazing. And by the way, if you're listening, feel free to interact in the chat. Let me know if you can hear me and if everything sounds good. But this is the No Quarter November promo video that everybody should see.
Hi, I'm Douglas Wilson.
Oh, that doesn't work.
Welcome back to No Quarter November. What is No Quarter November?
You may ask.
Basic concept is that we have gotten a little soft in these decaying times of ours. And there comes a time when every good-hearted Christian wants to hoist the Jolly Roger and just go to war with the world, right? And I think that is an admirable sentiment that needs to be cultivated more. Some people might say, isn't pastoral piracy or a pastoral approach to these things a little antinomian? But no, I prefer to think of it as piratical theonomy. So what I hope to do is post a couple of times a week where I simply dissect something or assault it or discipline it with a canoe paddle, something like that, and give no qualifications at all. This is the way you ought to be thinking and praying. I hope you can expect that by December 1, everything will be all better, and these sorts of things will become completely unnecessary.
I love it. Here it goes.
I hope you enjoy.
There we go. Welcome to No Quarter November, everybody. I've been in this whole editing, Babies Are Still Murdered here. So I'm just starting to come out, spend a lot more time on Twitter, and what a great time to come out during No Quarter November. For those of you guys who don't know, No Quarter November is Doug Wilson's series of blog posts where he doesn't give any qualifications to what he writes, but he just writes from the most savage place in Doug Wilson's heart. And he doesn't back it up or apologize for anything or try to argue or make people think, make people understand what he means. No, he just says what he thinks. And what we get from that is the church is blessed with an amazing round of blog articles that really go into, they're articles that fight. They're articles that cause people to bleed when they read them. And I think we can learn a lot from that. So it's No Quarter November, and of course Doug Wilson is writing these amazing blogs about, you know, so far he's done one on sexism, and then he's done another one, which for some reason is not popping into my head at the moment, but it is called Restoring Sexism is the first one, and then the other one was Inerrancy as the Queen Mom of Evangelicalism. both really, really amazing blogs. Especially this one was talking about how Christians don't believe the Bible. Therefore, how can we expect the world to believe the Bible? Is absolutely fantastic. Fantastic. You should read it. So you have these articles, right? So the inerrancy of the Queen Mum is the Queen Mum of evangelicalism. Doug Wilson essentially points to scripture, hard scriptures, in the scriptures, hard Bible verses that are really just the verse alone is just really offensive to a lot of people. And he talks about, look, if Christians don't believe that the Bible says this, then how are other people going to believe about what the Bible says? And then of course the sexism blog where he says, look, there's differences between men and women. Women, if we're going to look and see that a penguin can be gay, then why don't we look and see that a robin builds a nest for a female robin builds a nest for her children? Like what examples do we take from nature, essentially? And just really good, really good blogs on both parts. But the point is that there's no qualifications. And on one hand, I see what he says, and I'm like, well, the content of these blogs are always so good. It's a shame. Like, the reason we're excited about it is because people, the reason we're excited about this sort of thing is because people just, the church just doesn't fight that much. So when you have a guy who's going to dedicate a whole month to just throwing stuff, like, everybody gets excited about it, like it's a big deal. And then, in the same month, you have Doug Wilson just throwing stuff up against the wall, just completely leveling out. You have this from Russell Moore. What the church can learn from Sesame Street. Honestly, like, I haven't read this, but I read, like, a part. It was this line. It says, more than that, they should show you by the characters they featured and the plot lines they put forward. Oh, I guess scroll down just a little bit more. more than that, they should show you by the characters they featured in the plot lines they put forward a new way of seeing things on the issue, ranging from racial equality to obesity prevention to the global fight against AIDS. Wow. And it's just, I mean, so here you have a guy, Doug Wilson, on one hand. He's just throwing stuff up against, he's just fighting. He's just swinging the sword, man. And if it hits, it hits. And then you have Russell Moore. It's like, hey, what can the church learn from the 50th anniversary of Sesame Street? And I would say, well, you know, it's government funded and the government oversees literally every script. The federal government oversees literally every script of Sesame Street before it's produced. I don't want a church that operates in the same way as Sesame Street. But Russell Moore, he's a statist. Probably wouldn't bother him that much at all. At all, honestly. So, just pulling something up on my timeline real quick. But yeah, so, okay. All right, so that brings me to, so there you have two different fighting styles. One is a complete crony politician who is, I mean, just imagine Russell Moore's world. Everything he says has to meet the approval of specific people. Everything he does is not based on his own genuine authenticity, but it's part of a larger corrupt plan. And it's really, really sad, and it's really disturbing on a lot of levels. So, this brings me to Donald Trump Jr. on The View. Now, this happened today, and what I want to point out is two things. Meghan McCain, who I believe fights like Russell Moore fights, and then you have Donald Trump Jr., who fights like Doug Wilson fights, and you're going to see two differences here. And if you want to know why people are into No Quarter November, why No Quarter November is a big deal, and why Donald Trump as president is a big deal, you're going to see it in this clip. Because you're going to see two different kinds of fighting styles. One is a woman who fights like a girl and feel and sounds like she's going to cry at everything she says. It's almost like she has fear because she's raising an objection to something. Even if it's a genuine objection, the trembling in her voice is why I believe that women should not be the main ones on the battlefield. And let's go ahead and play this clip now and show you exactly what I mean.
A lot of Americans in politics miss character. And a lot of people miss the soul of this country. You and your family have hurt a lot of people and put a lot of people through a lot of pain, including the Khan family, who was a gold...
Oh, okay, just real quick. She's reading her question off of a script. So this is probably a question that was put through some, some panels, and it was approved by a majority of people. Meghan McCain, you're allowed to ask this question, but here's how you should read it. And so this is her reading a question that's very, very soft and gentle, and it's based on emotions. You've hurt, your family has hurt a lot of people. Stop. Right there. How has Donald Trump physically hurt a lot of people? He hasn't. What she means is that words have upset people. Words have made people mad. Your dad makes people mad by saying mean things. This is same objections we get to Doug Wilson in the No Quarter November blogs. Hey, you know, he's just saying mean things. Just saying mean things. Let's continue.
Star family that I think should be respected for the loss of their son. Does all of this make you feel good?
Does this make you feel good? So her question is rooted in the fact that the words of Donald Trump is making people feel bad. So does this make you feel good? Just reciting that back, like that sort of thing. The words, your dad's words are making people feel bad. Does that make you feel good? That's unbelievable. Let's just play. I want to play that back again because you
did for the loss of their son. Does all of this make you feel good?
How is he supposed to answer that, by the way? Oh, no. I feel great. My dad's president of the United States. Does this make you feel good? What is our sort of political engagement nowadays? Anyway, but this is how Russell Moore fights. And let's see how Doug Wilson fights through the lens of Donald Trump Jr.
I don't think any of that makes me feel good, but I do think that we got into this because we wanted to do what's right for America. My father has been working tirelessly to bring back the American dream, who've watched politicians with no business experience send that American dream abroad to countries that hate our guts. He's brought jobs back. He's created unprecedented levels of unemployment numbers for African Americans, for Hispanic Americans.
No! Look at her face. Like, how dare you say that? Even though it's absolutely true. It's 100% true. Donald Trump has done a fantastic job in reducing poverty levels in this country. It's economics 101. And this... knock my headphones off. This is the face. Right here on the screen. Right here. This is the face of someone who is hurt by such a true statement. She can't even stomach the fact. It is absolutely true. Donald Trump Jr. is responding to Meghan McCain's question about saying mean things by saying mean things. Even if those mean things that Donald Trump has reduced black unemployment rates, it's a true thing, but it hurts Whoopi's feelings. Look at the sadness in her face right there.
You can argue with it, but this is fact.
No, it's not fact.
For women, if you got the question, let me finish it.
Yep.
For women, all-time high startup businesses. So I understand that he's controversial. I understand that he's offended a lot of people, but I also understand he took on the establishment, and that's...
All right, this is important. So he's saying he's controversial. He says a lot of things that upsets people, but he's taking on the establishment. He's fighting the establishment. And listen to this. This is fantastic.
The premier sin in American politics these days to do that.
But I do want to know the question.
Now, remember, Meghan McCain is the establishment. So Donald Trump Jr. is saying, my dad has taken on people like your grandpa, John McCain. He's taken on people like that. And it doesn't sit well with her.
Understand.
By the way, I'm not happy that people interpret it that way. I don't think that's our intention.
Character in and again, I will let you speak. Character in politics, I believe, is important. It was how I was raised. It's the way I view the lens of America. And I understand what you're saying about policy, but when you're talking about attacking Gold Star families who have given the ultimate sacrifice more than any of in this room have given, and you put them through pain, does it make you feel like
this was
worth it?
And I know he does a lot with Gold Star families, and he calls a lot of those Gold Star families, and he has a lot of care for those people.
But
when he's under constant attack by the same people, when he's under attack by the establishment, when he's under attack by this, the reality is he's a counterpuncher. And as a conservative, I would hope that you would appreciate that conservatives haven't been known for fighting back for a very long time. They've ceded ground to the liberals and the liberal elite for decades by not...
There it is. Conservatives have not been known to fight back for a long time. They have not been known to fight back. And he's saying that Donald Trump is a conservative who is fighting back. And Meghan McCain is like, stop fighting. Stop fighting back. So this is a system. You have somebody who's an establishment puppet like Meghan McCain. She's an establishment puppet. She's on The View. She's pretending to be a conservative in front of all these other liberals. Oh, everybody's saying like you're back. Was I gone? Was I gone? I don't know. I just got a bunch of comments pop up on my feed all at once. It was so weird. Anyway, I don't know if I was gone or not. But, okay. So, here you have Meghan McCain and Donald Trump Jr. Donald Trump Jr. is saying conservatives have lost the fight because we don't fight. We just let liberals take and take and take and take, and we don't fight. And Donald Trump comes in and he starts fighting, and people like Meghan McCain are getting mad and upset. This is just an amazing clip. Let's continue this.
Actually fighting back. So I understand we can keep going back to character. I think he has great character. I think my family has character.
Her father.
I understand that, and I'm sorry about that. And they did have differences. I agree with that.
But I think
I'm sorry for the loss. I think you lost your aunt last night, so I do apologize for that as well.
I did lose my aunt last night. Yes, I did.
McCain Morgan.
Thank you. It would not have been worth it. This would not have been worth it. And I think people can go to the moment when my dad had stopped someone from saying Obama was a Muslim, and the pain, inflicting pain on so many people, wouldn't have been worth it to me or my family to the White House. So
yeah, you can't say, even if the things you're saying are true, even if it's causing you to win the worldview war, the pain saying true things does to other people, that pain, that emotional pain of the truth piercing their hearts, is just not worth it. She'd rather give up liberty, give up freedom, give up everything because it hurts people's feelings. And here you have Donald Trump Jr. saying, look, sometimes you just got to say mean things. And an example of him saying mean things is wonderfully demonstrated in this scene right here, which is probably one of my favorite moments on The View ever. And I don't have a lot of favorite moments on The View, but this for sure really takes the cake. Here we go.
Tape where he bragged about grabbing women by their genitalia. She's talking about, that's what Meghan is talking about. She's talking about lowering the discourse to his level, which is horrible for this country. Even if people are working, we don't want to have a country like that. Do you understand?
I completely agree that what Donald Trump said about grabbing women's genitalia was awful, one of the worst things he's ever said. Personally, I don't know if he's apologized for it or not. But anyway, when you're talking about Donald Trump saying mean things to win the fight, that's not one of them. That's not one of the things that people are mad or upset about to win the fight. But listen to how this argument is countered, no matter your opinion on what was said. Listen to how Donald Trump Jr. responds to these women, and he absolutely no quarter Novembers them all the way.
We've all
done
things.
They don't like the vessel or the semantics of the tweet, but nevertheless, look at the results.
We've all done things that we regret. I mean, if we're talking about bringing a discourse down, Joy, you've worn blackface. Whoopi,
no,
you
I said...
Oh, man! Oh, straight up called her out. You've worn blackface. And I saw the picture today of her in blackface. She it wasn't like a dark blackface. It was a lighter, more darker. She dressed up as a black person. No question about it. So, boom. Doing things you regret. Just throwing it out there. And then the Whoopi Goldberg.
I'm sorry. And don't.
Roman Polanski, it wasn't rape. When he raped a child. So
let's talk about this. So you want to bring this up? The question came up.
I did not go in blackface, please.
No, she was not in blackface.
Thank you.
Sorry. Listen, being black, I recognize blackface. This I can say. Okay? I know it when
I see it. Let me back me up on that. That's
so now that you, now that you've broke.
Look how upset they are in their faces, though, right now. They're just, he just flat out. Now remember, Meghan McCain was just talking about not using hard language, that it hurts people. And Donald Trump Jr. just flat out said, Joy Behar, you've dressed in blackface. And Whoopi Goldberg, you've defended a child rapist and said, well, it's not rape, which she absolutely did say. Actually, you know what? Let's pull that clip up because that is important.
I know it wasn't rape.
Yeah, there was a statutory rape.
I
child molest, maybe? I'm not sure it was something.
It was something else, but I don't believe it was rape. And when we get all the information, somebody will tell me in my ear. All I'm trying to get you to understand is when we're talking about what someone did and what they were charged with, we have to say what it actually was. Now,
so there is Whoopi Goldberg clearly saying that, hey, Roman Polanski, a notorious child molester, is not guilty of rape. It's like a kind of rape, but it's not rape. Like, it's just another form of rape. And there you have just, the view is just completely baffled by this. And, well, let's continue this.
In this piece of ice, because I guess this is the fight you wanted.
It's not the fight I want.
Yeah, it is.
But if we're talking about character, if we're talking about these things...
Are you questioning my character?
I'm not questioning your character. You're questioning my father's character.
I didn't question anybody. I simply said that when you're talking about that your father's taken more heat than anybody else, that it's not so. Instead,
as a president,
and when, yes,
come
as
on.
A president, yes,
ridiculous.
He's getting crushed every day.
I think the president.
Central Park 5 took a lot more heat than your father has taken at his hand.
Wait, everybody, hold up.
President Trump.
We'll be right.
He got a little bell. So anyway, you guys can see there's a difference in how the two are fighting. You have Meghan McCain, and she's like, hey, you shouldn't use words that hurt people. You shouldn't say things that hurt people. And Donald Trump's like, hey, look, if you want to talk about character, one person dressed in blackface, Joy, you dressed in blackface, and you defended a child molester and said, well, it wasn't rape. Was it child molesting? Well, it wasn't rape. And then there's a part of us. There's a longing in our soul, I think, especially in the Christian church, there's a longing in our soul just to see people fight again. We just want to see people fight again. That's all we want. We're tired of people being like Russell Moore. We're tired of them just acting like everything's a political game and everything should be done to win friends and not make enemies. And so you have Doug Wilson, who comes out once a year with no quarter November, and he's just leveling the floor with people. And people are freaking out. How dare somebody talk like this? How dare these articles be presented this way? How dare someone who claiming to be a Christian pastor say these mean things? How dare he say these mean things? And then you got people like us who are just like, oh, this is like water in a desert. Somebody actually fighting. Somebody actually is just like speaking the truth and not worried about whether or not it'll hurt people's feelings. And everybody gets excited about No Quarter November and buys all sorts of books, and it's really successful for Cannon Press. It's great. But it shouldn't be something that only happens in November. Christians should be fighting way more than they are. And I just want to personally thank Doug Wilson for that. When you have a guy like Russell Moore, who again is the Meghan McCain in this, who's worried about people's feelings, who's worried about people's impressions, he doesn't have the ability to express an authentic moment. He doesn't have an ability. Not at all. And there's a lot of things about him that just make me really uncomfortable. It's almost as if every word he says is analyzed and overseen by bureaucracies of people. Every YouTube video he makes is monitored, and the script is polished. Every public statement he makes, every blog he makes. And it must be a really sad reality for him. It must be. And so let me just take a moment to talk with the ERLC interns. You guys know who you are. ERLC staff, you guys know who you are. I believe that there's people within the ERLC who took a job with the ERLC because they legitimately wanted their faith to be involved in politics. And if you're hearing me, you know this is true. You know this speaks to you. You took a job with the ERLC because you legitimately wanted your faith to influence the political sphere. And that's a good thing. But then you got there and you realized that everything is polished. That the ERLC is a whitewashed tomb. And that everything is done behind closed doors and with alternative strategies that you probably don't agree with. I want to encourage you to be a whistleblower. I want to encourage you to come out and speak the truth about what's happening at the ERLC. Because it doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take a genius to look at Russell Moore saying anything and realize that he's a puppet, that he's speaking on behalf of other people, or that he's working for other people. And there's people within the ERLC that know exactly how the game is being played right now. And you know that you went to the ERLC to fight, to change politics, and to use your faith to influence the government. And that's not happening right now. And you're looking around, and you're going, man, this is not what I signed up for. I want to encourage you. Contact me. Contact me. You know what's going on there. You guys know the truth. You know that what's happening at the ERLC is not real fighting. It's polished. It's scripted. It's political. And you know it. And you know what's happening. And I would say that true faith in Christ demands that you guys come out with this and let the world know. Let the world know what's happening. Tell people what's really going down. So, if you need help with that, you can contact me. I'll figure out a way to get undercover cameras on you. I'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll work together. We'll make it happen. But I know that there's some things going down at the ERLC that you guys that are working there are really starting to feel the pressure of your faith and whether you can continue this job. And I just want to encourage you, just use your platform that God's given you inside of that place. You know, be a Daniel. Speak out for the truth. Be an Esther. And expose this mess. Expose what's happening. Be brave. We need the truth to come out, and you guys know what it is. We need people to fight. What we're up against? We're up against people that are using women who have been sexually abused in the church. they're using that to abuse women all the more by saying that they should be pastors or preachers or trying to get women into some sort of political positions of power within the SBC, or to make them preachers, or to do all these things. They're using a terrible event like that to abuse women all the more. Or they're using racism. People who have legitimately been victims of racism, they're using racism, as awful as that is, to gain political power. I tweeted this yesterday. I tweeted, it's not about racism, it's about liberalism. It's not about sexual abuse, it's about liberalism. It's not about federal vision, it's about liberalism. All these attacks that we're seeing, oh, the church is filled with racism, oh, the church is filled with sexual abuse. It's not that those things don't exist in the church. Of course those things exist in the church, but the ERLC is using these things. They are using these things to gain political power. And they're not planning on using that political power to glorify Jesus Christ. I can tell you that. We know that based on the stuff that they say, because it's not Christian. And so that's my challenge to you. If you're within the ERLC, you happen to see this, and you're an intern, you know, I know that the ERLC interns know who I am. I know that you guys know who I am. I know that you guys are talking about me when I was at the Southern Baptist Convention. You guys know. But I also believe that there's some ERLC employees who are genuine and really want to change the world. Well, God's given you an opportunity to do that and placed you in a position where you can. You guys know what to do. Get a hold of me, anonymous email, however you want to do it. It's fine. But let's bring it down. You guys know. You guys can have the faith. So just want to encourage you before we go to fight hard. Just to fight. Just to lay stuff down. Lay your life down. Christ demands us to fight. And so I want to encourage you to do it. Not just because it's November. Just with everything you have. And so, that's it for today's episode of Law and Prophets. You can join the Fight Laugh Feast Club. Become a member of the Fight Laugh Feast Club. You can get all sorts of behind the scenes videos, all sorts of access behind the paywall. Once you sign up, you can join very, very inexpensively. Over a cup of coffee, no big deal. All you got to do is sign up. Make sure you enter the code Law and Prophets so I get a little bump for that. Thank you very much. And again, thank you guys so much for watching.
When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores to get desperate to get food.
Regulation. What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.